Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Sorry we're late.
Hello.
We're late for our own last show.
Hi.
My name is Hello.
I'm Goodbye.
Wait, you can call me Goodbye.
So with sadness, we begin our last show. Unfortunately, our two original speakers aren't with us tonight. Rich is playing bingo. And Steve is playing with Steve. No.
But so that's okay. We have a lot of people here, and this is good.
Well, we've been here a short time, but I mean, it's been a fun ride since we started with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So I guess the group says we're going to be on YouTubes.
Yeah, we're gonna try a new format. We're gonna try video streaming, video vlogging.
If you thought this radio show was scary, wait till you see what we actually look like.
Oh my goodness.
We're gonna have to get fill-ins.
Just like we've been saying for the last, how many years have we been doing this?
3 years.
3 years? www.paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
And we have a website?
We've always had a website.
Well, why didn't you tell me this like 2 years ago? I would have started
always
saying it
had
on
a
the
web. And it's going to point to someplace. I don't know where it's going to point to. Probably our YouTube page.
We thank our one listener all these years. Your questions have given us things to talk about for many shows.
You've actually been in attendance more than most of us. So.
This is actually a big treat for us. We haven't seen Mike Halifax Warburton in forever.
I can't discuss where I've been, but no, it was in service to Queen Victoria.
I hear you been a sailing around the Mediterranean.
South Seas. More interesting.
He just ate our last Amish, so... The Amish.
Are you
stacking?
Turning full Amish?
No. Not yet. Full moon.
You have to shave the mustache
and just
keep the beard.
I could never be Amish because I couldn't get up before the sun rises. I barely get up after the sun rises. There's no way I could have a barn built by noon.
Yep, we'll be much better in person.
That's awesome.
Because if you could see our faces...
I'd be worried about insulting Amish, but they're probably not listening to an internet radio show. Stab in the dark on that one.
Hey, they take credit card now.
Really? How?
How do you think I bought those beef sticks you're eating? They take English currency now.
Mm. Getting hip with the times.
Yoderific. Maybe we should start a new currency. Like they have Bitcoin, we should have Yoder.
Yoder?
Yoder.
What's Yoder?
I don't know. Is that like a popular Amish name?
Yeah.
Like Smith?
Is it?
Yes.
All right. Barn building.
Back
all right.
To's and froms. Let them do it and you come afterwards. So. I really have nothing to say. I hope Rich wins a bingo tonight.
Takes us all out to dinner.
We had a very interesting investigation 2 days ago, and we're going to chat about that for a couple minutes, because that's paranormal. It is the historic Fort Bull site in Rome, New York.
Karma, please forgive me for having to pee in the woods, but, you know, there was no bush to... I mean, there was no bathroom to use, so bush it was.
So there is no fort there, it's just grass and woods, and we know roughly where the fort was, and burial mounds, and all sorts of stuff, and weird stuff happened.
So weird, it made one of our investigators, it made her moist. I don't know what that means, but apparently... That was the fair of the night, and I almost just had David spit his soda right across onto the computer, onto my face.
almost ended our short show a lot shorter.
I'm only using the words that appeared in the official RIP report.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
And right after she said it, the whatever that device was.
The Melmeter.
The Melmeter
crazy.
Started going off.
But it was just the way you wrote it up. It was like, as David's device started to, what was it?
I believe it references David's unit.
David's unit started to make noise, and she became moist.
It was the other way around, actually. She was referencing how humid and muggy it was outside.
Yeah, it was muggy.
And she said, in the heat of the moment, I'm moist all over. And we just kind of, what? Really? This investigation has done that to you? And she got a kick out of
it.
The
only time that Melmeter went up, when Nicole said that, and when I dropped my cigar on the ground.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Must have got the incubus in the woods all excited.
Mm-hmm.
Moisture. I mean, I thought I was the only one who gets moist on an investigation. I didn't even have full titty sweat.
Saturday
I only had
bad.
A partial crescent.
Saturday was bad.
Yeah, it was hot. It was just muggy.
Yeah. Like, my glasses were steaming up. Like, and I didn't even hike through the woods. I just stood by that monument. My glasses, like...
You would just exude moisture.
Not that I'm the most physically fit.
No, come on.
It's been a long time since I've hiked up the Amazon, let's just say that.
That's why you take ships now.
Come on, Mike. You got the fitness of 5 men.
I do. And the appetite to match.
So just to set this up, the Rome Historical Society has asked us to step in and raise them some money to purchase an interpretation center. That's what
that's
fundraising
what
is
for.
That's why we're doing
to
this?
To build
basically
a shed with a porch
so
they can store
their
stuff.
Like the lawnmowers and stuff in it, and then they want to put a porch on it so they could...
That's shaded in. So they need about $3,000 to $4,000 we need to help.
And what's this called? You said an interpretation center?
That's what they want
to call interpretation.
They
want to
put like maps and pictures.
From what I've gathered between talking to those two guys and my brother, interpretation is what they do when they tell you. Pretty much interpreting past to present.
Oh, okay. So it's a storage shed that's going to have signage on it.
Yeah. And a porch.
And a porch. It's
got
to have a porch.
When they get tours, so they got a spot to stand and...
Okay.
Maybe if we could get them enough money, a self-composting pooper.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're out there, there's really no place to go other than Wood Creek, and the DEC looks down on things like that.
Yeah.
The moat that's there, has that been excavated to be that way, or has it always, when they found it, was it still there? Because it seemed pretty fantastic that the moat was still there.
They said that it was there, and there was composted, like, sticks and leaves and stuff, so they cleared that out. But the earthwork, as they call it, is all natural.
Okay, so that was never excavated. That was there when they found it for the last. So that was exactly like it was.
Right.
So September 23rd, we're leading 40 people into this location to paranormally investigate it. It's never been open to the public. It may not ever be open to the public. It's almost a near impossibility to actually get back there at this point because of an ongoing legal issue with another entity that actually owns the property in front of it. Now, two things going for the site. It was the site of a French and Indian War fort, mostly what they would have called a blockhouse at the time. They said the walls were 15 foot tall, pretty much buried stockade wall fence with a few buildings in it. To the east part of it, there was a stone building that would have held gunpowder. So in 1756, the British Army were actually getting ready to make a massive raid into Canada. They started loading that fort down heavily with supplies. So in March of 1756, there was about, what would the guys say, I think it was between 5,000 and 6,000 pounds of gunpowder that they had on hand at the fort, which is an incredible amount of bang bang.
Yeah, it said bang bang. And it was all stored in 100-pound barrels.
Wooden casks, yeah. So the French got word of this, so they snuck down Wood Creek from Canada, got in sight of the fort, and then on March 26th, 1756, at nighttime, along with Canadian militia and Mohawk Indians, they hit the fort, caught everybody completely off guard. Since it was just the stockaded wall fort, they couldn't fight back, so they were basically just sitting ducks inside of
offense.
The walls until they could break the walls in, and then there was a fight. They basically brutally brutally killed everybody in the fort. They were saying the commander's wife, Lieutenant Bull, his wife, they rammed a bayonet right through her neck as she was laying on the ground pleading for mercy, and they killed a couple children. And so in all, 60 men, women, and children were killed in that raid. The back-and-forth gunfire and all that started the outer wall on fire, which started creeping towards the gunpowder. The French pulled out of there immediately, and that thing went off. It leveled the fort. It blew bodies hundreds of feet away. It blew the can. I mean, massive, widespread debris field. When the army arrived, I believe he said, a day or two later, an advance column, they found these... They found the wreckage. They immediately buried who they could find. There were like 30 out of the 60 bodies that they know they found were buried somewhere on property. They immediately began to rebuild another fort. The fort now they don't believe was on the site of the original one. None of the British reports comply with the way it's all written. Each one's different, that it wasn't on the same site. So the site you see now that you'd be investigating, and there's a big stone boulder on it, that was the second fort that was put up, called Fort Wood Creek. During the building of that, they did make that battle up into France, or into French Canada at the time. They came back, they got hit with the smallpox epidemic, the army, and they said that another 500 men had died, and those 500 men are buried somewhere on that property. So now you realistically have two separate grave fields, one containing the 30 from the original battle, and then upwards of 5, 6, they don't know how many hundreds from the smallpox epidemic. So that's basically what we've been tasked with. Find the original fort using paranormal evidence. And we were joking before this, and Mike was joking about it. He's like, and this is how they described it to us. Well, the fort could be over here.
It's all within like 300 yards
maybe
of like what
here.
Stop, what is.
But it might actually be over here, but we don't know.
And that's on the neighbor's property, so we can't go over there. But there may be a mass burial grave on their property, or...
We're going to put a K2 on the end of, like, a fishing pole.
Now, the weird thing, it wasn't weird. They had us, we allowed us to go in and do a preliminary investigation this past weekend, and I kind of think it was kind of interesting.
It was very interesting.
Two things out of the ordinary. When you get into the wooded section, one of the alleged areas of where it could be, you see what almost looks like a naturally cut road, because even the way the foliage grows, it still leaves a wide path that just doesn't look natural. It just looks, and like they would say, it would be the pathway from Wood Creek possibly to the fort. Now, within sight of that, they call it a witness tree. There's a gigantic, weird tree that looks like it's right out of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The thing's like 7,000 feet tall, 42 feet wide. It's been hit by lightning, so half the tree's black. The other half is perfectly fine. It just...
So they call it a witness tree because they believe it existed there at the time that this all happened?
During the battle. And I'd ask them, I'm like, did you have any of the guys run a metal detector over the tree? If it was big enough, there might be some kind of fragments, or which I guess would be a moot point if lightning hit it.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why lightning hit it.
Could be.
For me that night, that was the area of the most activity, and we cranked up the portal. If you don't know what the portal is, it's a one-way communication with the unknown.
Which is actually pretty cool.
And I think we got, like, I was playing a little bit for these guys here. It sounds like we got, like, 2 minutes of straight battle right on audio. You can hear muskets firing. But there's one distinct one, and I want to find that, where you could actually hear, like, the flintlock rifle. You could hear the click, scrape, pop, bang. It was as clear as day. We were all standing there, and we're like, oh, my God, that was a musket. There was no mistaking that was a...
That's wild.
At one point in there, Rich said he heard somebody speaking French. That's why I'm excited. Can't be too excited because I didn't crawl right into the audio and start listening, but I do have to get into that this
week.
Being
French boys on a battlefield was probably surrendering. Ayo!
Yeah, but those were the ones who led the attack.
Last battle of French boys.
Steve kept getting mental images of a guy with a big floppy hat. I mean, I'm like, well, he had to be French then because... Mike's brother was all into it. He became a member of the Night's Watch there, and he's like, Rogan Fire!
Did he bust out the Scottish accent?
Yes, full Scottish accent. I forgot what the regiment was now. It was the black...
Was that the 51st?
I don't remember the number. I think 42nd.
42nd.
From Wales. No, Scottish.
The black...
I'm not being racist there. No, the black watch or something. And you're
it really was the Night's Watch almost.
Oh yeah, they were
your
Scottish
like,
mercenaries, weren't they? Or...
Load the lock, prepare to fire. And then inevitably you hear musket fire and like volleys of, and it's like, oh my God, were they answering his brother? They're like, they're answering Jonathan. Get ready, boys. Ready at the half cock? Dear Lord.
How'd they know Mike's nickname? Sorry.
Half cock would be with the trigger. There was no sexual innuendos involved in that.
It definitely makes me kind of sad that we went and spent time with my family instead of.
Yep. You're never going to get that back.
Yeah.
Too bad you missed it.
We heard you guys screaming in the woods, though, on the other side. I'm like, what the heck are they doing? But we were having weird things happen of our own.
Yeah.
Aside from Nicole's spontaneous moisture, it was a lot of weird readings on the Mel meter. As well as the K2.
We hear that. That's what was making her moist.
And actually, a couple times we did get it to like turn on or off.
Yeah, in response to questions. So that's, I mean, when you have EMF detectors, that's what you look for. And
now understand, we're in the middle of a field. There is no electricity
anywhere
near us.
Nope.
That could remotely even... What's the closest thing? Walmart, 2 miles away?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because even the public building of the village don't have electricity, right?
Nothing.
Now, they walked us to another area, which is going to be available only during the VIP event, which was the site of a Native American, most likely a Oneida Indian, what did he say, homestead site, campsite, or temporary?
He believes that it was a foundry location. He believes that it was some kind of early primitive production area of a Native American settlement. There was smelting and stuff that was going on there. So that was unique.
And that's going to be open only for VIP members.
Yeah.
Now, when we were walking to that site, there's a house that's within the vicinity of it that we can't go onto, which isn't our property, but walking on the trail that was their property, and several of us distinctively heard a woman just say hello.
And this is a very...
And it wasn't Nicole.
This is... This is a very old, creepy house, 1800s era, that was relocated to the site from somewhere else. And anybody who goes in there on staff of the facility who owns it says that they have, in the past, seen people moving around in there, an old lady. They've heard an old lady. They've seen movement in the windows, like the drapes moving and stuff. And when the caretaker goes in there... He said that he has seen an old lady, and every time he goes in, he says, "It's just me, Grandma," and in hopes that she doesn't bother him. And he said she hasn't in quite a while, but it's just a unique story.
So if there's ever a place we're allowed to camp out overnight, that is...
I'd actually be worried.
Now, I don't know when you guys went out to the witness tree or when you went into the woods. We had the overwhelming feeling we were being surrounded. I don't know if it's like this is the first time anybody's acknowledged
the presence of
the presence that they were there, because the one thing I kept saying out loud was, we need to know where you're buried so we can get a marker up so you can be remembered. And it's like you could just feel everything closing around. You can hear things moving in the woods.
Yeah.
Which I mean, you have to dismiss, especially if we heard all them coyotes,
right?
But it's just there's an impending doom, like they're like everywhere.
Well,
like
I don't want to be a non-believer because I believe in everything, but part of that could have been the fact that once you got in those woods with the humidity, it just felt like everything was closing in on you anyway.
It could be. When we were in the woods, we did hear a lot of noises rustling around in the woods, and
not making fully into the woods, but I made it close enough to realize I didn't want to go in there because of the humidity.
Well, mostly Nicole and Larry had said that they kept seeing shadows out of the periphery. And, like, Nicole kept, you know, punching the flashlight up and looking around, turning it off. And then Larry would jump and say, holy crap! And he's like, no, there was something right there. And he would look that way, and then Nicole would get it from the other side. So there were noises going on in the woods and peripheral imagery. I was kneeling down next to the tree, so I didn't see anything. I wasn't facing the woods proper, but...
I'm going to say that's probably the sight of something. Like I was telling Kevin before the show, the fact that there's just a random weird tree there that doesn't match any of the nature around it, I wonder if the army like planted something there just
like
to say, this is where the bodies are, so if we come back later, we know this is where, or the general area of where we buried these men. Not necessarily who cared where the fort was, because they rebuilt it. That wasn't really of a consequential nature, but where they put the bodies or something.
Now that you mention it, that tree, it's really the only formal tree that's there. I mean, that tree is massive.
Could also be why it grew so big, because of all the
decomposing remains. I mean, it could be, but when you look at everything else around it, I mean, it's basically like shrub that just really, really, really grew for years and years. So you have these trees that are maybe like 10, 12 inches, you know, around, and then you have this massive tree that's, you know, like 10 feet around. So, who knows? That is really the oldest thing that's there, though.
And then up on, like, where you went the first time when we did the first visit to the site, there's that set of stones that are just randomly there for no reason, too.
And there's another area in the woods, probably 20 meters from where the tree is. And that, you know how when I go places, like, no, I don't experience anything, I don't feel anything. When Art and I were in that spot, it was like a buzzing feeling. Like, I felt it on my spine, I was getting the tingles. You know, just the fact that that was there. And it's not like it's a weird spot, it's not a creepy area. It's just, like, I left, and then the feeling left. And then went back in after a little while, and, like, you could feel it. It was, and then Art's like, you know, a lot of people come to this spot and they say that weird things take place over here, and they feel that this area right here is the site of the original fort, because there's earthworks, there's features in the terrain. It's all overgrown with, you know, those gigantic trees and whatnot, but that may indeed be something. There may be something lingering there.
How long ago did they recognize and put, like, the monument?
That was about 1912.
Oh, yeah.
That was,
and it was a farm for years before that.
Kingsley.
You know, Art told me all that when they used to go there and do parades.
The Kingsley family donated the monument, and Kingsleys are well known in our city for early 1900s philanthropy.
And really, it's just a boulder with a bronze marker on it. It's nothing, but I would like to see them put some kind of sizable marker up there. Or at least if they know where the bodies are, to put some kind of, make the city and state get involved and put some kind of recognition there. Especially if you have 500 people buried in a location. See, which is like we joke about when we give the lamplight tours, we always point to St. Peter's Church and we're like, so haunted is this ground, so unconsecrated is this ground, because 2,000 Revolutionary War soldiers are buried here. They died building the fort. We always say that's a bunch of crap, but that was the first
in
time.
In that particular case.
But that's the first time I've ever heard of that many people dying in our area. I mean, that's a substantial amount of people when you consider the terrain, the time. And,
well, yeah. When you consider the time, 60 people is a ton of people.
No, like the 500.
No, the 500. Well, that's like a significant...
Yeah, that was probably more people than were living in the area.
Yeah,
such a densely local part of it too.
Yeah,
500 people in that small area.
Yep, yep.
I mean, if you were to say 500 people died in a total in Rome,
yeah,
I mean, it really doesn't seem like that much. But I mean,
when you consider that, like 600 people were there, and 500 of them died.
Yep, and you're only looking at 4 acres.
Right.
But that was followed up by the week before we did the wonderful Old Knox Mansion in Johnstown, New York. Jamestown?
Johnstown. New York. That place is so cool.
Holy God, was it hot as hell.
Oh, yeah, you don't be mad you missed that. That was ridiculous.
If anything, Mike, they're all mad at me because I just grabbed the chair, went and threw it right in front of the air conditioner, and said, here's where I'm investigating all night. I'm not moving.
I was in the basement, and I was soaking wet.
Yeah, you had my old job. Yeah. That was my job last year.
But it was cool. Cooler down there.
Yeah.
And I was soaked.
They had it all decorated now down there, like a torture chamber.
Oh, really?
Like all kinds of cast iron chandeliers.
Really?
I didn't venture upstairs once. I'm sorry, I just...
That attic?
I couldn't.
Was ridiculous.
Sure was.
And poor Maeve over here.
I lost like 4 pounds. Yeah.
Did you go in the crawl space?
She spent the friggin' night in the crawl. I went up there twice, and like Diane was sitting there both times. I'm like, are you alone? Where is everybody? She's like, no, there's about 15 people in the crawl space. So like I crawl in the crawl space, and it's like 100 feet down through this. I'm like, screw that. I'm not going down there.
What I did was every group that came up, I told them, all right, we'll spend the majority of the time out here, but if anybody wants to go into the crawl space and see what it's like, and everybody would want to go, so they'd be like, all right, let's go. We'd run down there, and we'd do a short spirit box session, and then we'd go back and finish the spirit box.
120 degrees.
You two were awesome. We went in and checked it with a digital thermometer. Topped out at 96 degrees.
Oh my God.
You two are awesome.
And it's small, right? It's only...
They had a lot of people in there.
And you can't stand up in
there,
right?
Pretty big. It was probably a 15 by 15 room.
Can you
the room
up
itself,
in there?
You can.
I didn't think
that it's the crawl space. The crawl space is wide, but it's
going
not
through small tunnels is...
You got to be able to fit through like a 16-inch rafter.
Yeah.
My contortionist days ended with vaudeville.
But I really didn't think anything was going to happen that night. And lo and behold... There was a few things that actually happened. One, when we were up in the attic and we had our first group was messing with my spirit box, which is just a shack hack.
Yeah.
And I said, just go for it, turn it on and see what you can do. And they started talking to this thing. And at first I was really skeptical of what they were saying because they started saying, wait, what'd you say? What's your name? He said, Mike? Mike, is that you? And I'm just like, okay, well, they're hearing what they want to hear.
Yeah.
They hear somebody say that, they think they heard somebody say Mike. I'll let them keep going. Mike, are you the gardener? And they just kept going with it. So at that point, I told Maeve, I said, I'm going to go downstairs and see what's going on with the next group. So I went down.
We asked them how many people were in the room too, remember?
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. They asked how many people were in the room. And the answer we got back was 10. So I went down to the next floor. And on that floor was Rich. And he was in the back room off the bedroom in that sunroom.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're doing spirit boxes down here. And he said, we just asked them how many people were in the room. And they said 10. It's like, okay, so the numbers are starting to correlate. But okay, we'll keep going. And from that point, I ventured down to Pete's room. And as soon as I walk in the door, I hear Pete say to the spirit box, Mike, are you still with us? I couldn't help it. Everybody was in the room, and I just, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Well, they just sat a mic upstairs. So everyone's like, oh, cool. Okay, well, we'll keep going. And then they turn around, and the first thing he says, Mike, were you the gardener?
That's funny.
And it's, I mean, a lot of it's coincidental, but...
But when you do this stuff, that's what you look for, the coincidences.
And talking to Fawn afterwards, she said that they've gotten a mic before, talking with mediums that have been through the house, and usually he stays in the attic, and he's not a very happy person.
Huh.
They're very gracious hosts, and I apologize they didn't have the punch, Maeve, even though we led up to it for like 3 weeks.
That
with
was
that,
so awful.
Yeah, that was
I'm
good.
Like, where's the punch?
We decided to try something different this time. No!
The funny thing in the attic, though, they took out... Were you there last time?
No.
They had all sorts of, like, satanic paraphernalia up there.
Really?
And when I went up to the attic, that was the first thing I looked for, and it was all gone. So there's a kid that has a bedroom up there.
Yep.
And at that point last year, that attic area was his living room, kind of like music room / game room.
With a giant chess set.
Yeah, and that's all. But like the couch that was there is gone, and the rugs and you know all that stuff. But I don't know. That's just kind of weird.
So they're getting ready for their Halloween season. They put like, what'd you say? They put 15,000 people through there on tours. They get that all decked up and decorated, and it goes to keep a very historic place and nice people up. I had some interesting stuff on the portal. Before you guys and gals leave tonight, I'll play them. I don't know who got what emails I sent out, but a couple of them. One was Dr. Monk. Another one was a guy named John, and then he said where he was from, Schenectady. I mean, that's just random weird. But the one thing that was weird, we had the spirit box running, and this has not ever happened to me. I think Alex was the one who said something. He's like, do something in the room to let us know you're here. The spirit box shut off.
Really?
Shut off in mid-thing. Well, I'm like, oh, the battery's died. Go pick the thing up. It's still got 3 bars. The thing hit full charge on the radio. It shut off. I'm like, are you kidding?
That's awesome.
Like, you know how to shut the radio off, but you couldn't write on my Victorian table? Go ahead, slam the table.
Pete, your Victorian table.
Pete has Mike hasn't seen that, have you?
Pete has this new device that he made called the Victorian table. A device. It is an 18-inch round little, like, side table, circular side table with the 3 legs on it, like you get at a hobby store. And on it, he has attached a chalkboard with a piece of chalk, a little box with, like, miniature Scrabble tiles or beads or whatever, and what else is on?
There's bells.
The copper with little trumpet. Handles. There's a copper trumpet on there.
The push bell, the bell top bell.
Oh, the bell. Ding ding. Yep, the waiter bell.
And a copper plate.
Basically, the thing was painted green and purple. It looked like Little Tykes put out a
paranormal investigating device.
It's a 1920s. All-in-one.
Yeah.
Yep. But it was like lime green and purple.
Victorian colors.
He pulls this thing out of his car and he's carrying it. And I'm giving it like a triple take. I'm like, what the hell is that thing? It's like, that's my new Victorian spirit table. I'm like, you're what? I think
it sounds great. It's more like David was giving me the look like, oh, God. The heat's got to pee. He's not really Brie. Yeah, he is bringing that in.
Oh, okay.
He just can't breathe. He's like, wait a minute. You can build stuff without circuits? What is this? Wood.
Yeah.
See, I was inspired by Larry. Larry always says more cowbells. So I thought, let me put all physical stuff. I'll tell you what inspired this and then go with it.
Please do.
Somebody in Salem gave me a CD. It may even have been John Zaffa. I don't remember. They're like, here, somebody gave me this. This is the seance from Houdini's the 10th anniversary of his death. Here's the Hollywood recording of the seance his wife and the spiritualists did. So I was listening to that in the car driving to the tour one day, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's like 1932. I'm like, nothing's changed other than they were really into the, oh, Houdini. Oh, magical Houdini. I have placed them for me on the table. A trumpet with which you may blow, a pistol which you may fire, a slate to write with, a mirror to scry. And this guy's going into all this stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute. Let me do this thing, because if something happens on this table...
The old-fashioned way of doing things as we started this.
I can't get the internet to come up. I'll show you the purple Peter table.
I think I can put a picture of it on Facebook.
Yeah, that's...
I had no context.
Mike didn't give it a second thought. What the hell is this thing now?
Oh, dear God, that's an LSD fantasy.
It doesn't give it justice, because when I saw it on the internet, I thought he had just set everything on a table he had here, like a big
table.
But
it's all, like, attached to
and
it.
And it's literally, like, this big around, and it's, like, this tall. And it's like, what is this?
If Candy's listening, it's $3 worth of parts, but that's, like, $60 worth of parts.
So he pulls it out of the car, and the first thing I'm thinking about is, oh my God, he's going to want to bring this to a lecture with us, like a college lecture, and bring it on the plane, and he's really going to get detained at this point?
Yeah.
If the Melmeter and the K2 and all that stuff didn't do it, this is going to put them over the edge.
But see, that's where I agree with Mike, and I've told these guys, if something can ring that bell, that's impressive to me more than any electronic gizmo light that can.
If
something can physically ba-ding, ba-ding, ba-ding.
Yep.
Now you brought.
And then they bust my chops. They bust my. Every time I'd leave the room, I'd come back. The scrabble tiles would say die, and peep, 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 peep would be all written on the chalkboard.
You brought the millimeter. We got quite a few hits down in the basement on that.
So did we. Yeah.
And that was pretty intense. That's the first time I've actually seen a millimeter in action and actually light up on it.
Yeah.
At the same time, you were down there when I backed into something that wasn't there.
That's right.
It basically felt like I backed into a dog. And I turned on a flashlight, turned around, and the wall was probably a good 2 feet behind me.
And about a minute before that happened to you, I was getting the spiderweb feeling on my legs. I was like brushing them off, thinking I walked into a spiderweb. He turned his light on. There was nothing around.
So that was pretty intense. And just so everyone that, or to the guy in Denver that's listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Make sure you like our YouTube page.
There was no animals in their house.
No. They have one gigantic dog, which was chained up out back, and that was it.
Yeah, that was confusing in the attic, because all of a sudden dogs started barking. We're like, is there a dog? We didn't see any dogs earlier. Then someone told us.
And we barely lived because you see that microburst that hit like 20 miles away at the Campground Music Festival? We kept thinking something bad was coming. I'm driving in and I can see the anvil cloud starting to form as my drive got closer. I'm like, this ain't going to be good.
Or the other way of thinking about that is, this is going to be an awesome night for a paranormal investigation. The lightning started. I'm like, yes, let it come.
She did have the ripped cupcakes. It was ham, potatoes, finger foods, corn on the cob.
Salads.
She's like, I figured you're Italians. We didn't do the ziti. I'm like, ah!
We're Italians.
Where's the
you
punch?
You need to do the ziti.
Where's the punch? We didn't do it. What? What?
Good day, madam.
Should have pulled a Larry, flipped the table over, and storm out. We're done.
Investigate yourself.
I'll tell you what, though, even with that storm that came through, it was amazing how solid that house is that you couldn't really hear the thunder outside.
Nope.
It was ripping.
Yeah.
I'm in the attic, and the only reason I knew there was a storm was because you could see the lightning.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you could hear the rain, but you couldn't hear thunder or anything.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's a well-built house.
Let us go out with a bang. Oh, Houdini! Great Houdini! If you're in the realm of the spirit world, call us up at 1-888-429-5471. Let us know the password so we can pass it on to your widow.
Do you still have that recording?
Oh, no, she's dead, right? Yeah. So I guess we won't pass.
Actually, let her talk to us too, then.
1-888-429-5471. Ask for Don. So, Don, if you get a call from Houdini or his wife tonight, let us know.
That's funny.
I'm pretty sure the password was Rosebud, wasn't it?
I always thought it. I didn't know they ever revealed what it was. They never got it.
Oh, no, that's Citizen Kane, right?
Yeah,
never mind. That's why I'm like, where the hell did Rosebud come? It might be pineapple, but I'm just going out on a limb.
I don't think it's pineapple.
Apparently, Houdini had a sled.
And if it was a message for his wife, it was probably one of the bitch you ruined my life.
Yes, I have the
Candy's
car.
That's cool.
Remind me, I'll give you the disc.
I actually attempted to go to Houdini's grave on Halloween when I was living in Brooklyn at the time, because he's buried in Queens. And unfortunately, about 5 years prior to that, they started locking the gates and not allowing anyone in except for celebrity.
I have that on disc, too.
Hmm.
When we were in Lilydale, I bought a book that came with it. I bought a book that was all about the huge friendship/battle between Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, big time.
I love Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, him and Houdini, you didn't know all that? And Houdini started off as friends. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was a huge spiritualist.
Well, he's the father of spiritualism.
And then as Houdini eventually got out of it and went about his whole thing of disproving everything, they had a huge falling out. And then, because Houdini's like, I don't do anything special. And her other Conan Doyle always claimed that Houdini had magic power.
Oh.
That's
going to
be a TV show on Fox in the fall.
Is it?
Mm. Who is Houdini trying?
Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan.
Really?
They're like detectives or something. It's really good.
Who was Houdini trying to contact that turned him from believer to skeptic? Was it his mother or something?
I think his mother, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it came with Houdini, the last seance of Harry Houdini or whatever it was.
That's sort of like the ridiculousness that James Randi puts out there. He had his $1 million challenge if you could prove the paranormal, but never had any intention of paying it. But yet I've made millions and millions of dollars off of magic and deceiving people. But...
Ooh.
That's not me. It's Houdini. We have a call. Oh, Houdini.
My text message.
Yeah, it's almost time for me to change all my ringtones.
Houdini and Thomas Edison are basically the same exact thing, but the opposite.
What the hell?
Reminder, sorry.
Houdini, send me a text. Send me a text.
Houdini, his mother passed, and he was trying to contact her, but he went to all these seances and started realizing they're doing sleight of hand and all these tricks and stuff like that. So he started disproving the paranormal.
Yeah, he ended up becoming a big debunker.
Whereas Thomas Edison, he actually is one of the fathers of EVPs.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to, he was actually designing a device to talk to his mother before she died. And he wanted to actually finished the device, so when his mother passed away, he could still talk to her because he and his mother were that close.
I just received a text message that says Pete Knucklehead. So that's the word from Houdini from beyond the grave. He just called me a knucklehead.
Either that or we have to go to Knuckleheads in Westmoreland.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Huh.
If you could go back in time, which is possible through DARPA, but it'd be worth talking to Tesla or Edison because both of them were able to speak to the dead. Tesla always said everything is with frequency.
Yeah. Could you imagine going back in time and bringing a spirit box to Edison?
Even the radio shop.
You did it wrong. This goes here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could fix your...
Jesus, is that you?
Portal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
He could fix the portal for you guys.
Well, that's partially just me not listening to David and buying the right damn connectors and just buying whatever I feel is going to work.
Oh, you mean
instead of what actually will work?
The 9 emails that I've sent him. Get this. Here's the link. I got this instead.
Or how about I buy a 12-volt battery to explode the whole system because it's based on
9
volt.
Yeah.
See, in my defense, that was based on the lunchbox amp, which has the 9-volt output, 12-volt in, 9-volt out. That's how he powers his pedals, but that's... Since you can't find a lunchbox amp.
Well, they're like $300, but did you buy the $2 device that I sent you?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will. We got a couple weeks. No, actually, no, we don't. If that's China, I ain't even going to have that in time.
No. No, they have North American ones.
Yeah, they say North American. Then the next thing I know, I'm getting a thing from China that says, we deliver in 42 weeks. No America. No America. 42 weeks. That 12-volt thing came from an American dealer in China.
Oh. That's why you got to put North America in there. And it's
oh, no, he specifically put in the eBay thing, ships from America.
Once it gets here,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we're really going to end our last show with racist overtones?
Yes.
That's how we started. That kid they used to call him?
I'm even part of this group.
That's funny. Yeah, we're down to 10 minutes on our last show.
That was one of our most fond investigations in Utica when we went into the house.
Oh,
and the
God.
Kid's like, the kid can stay, but that black ghost, he has to go. I don't want him in my house. Like, how do you know the ghost is black?
And at that point, you just look at somebody and wonder, are they being serious or are they making a joke? Oh, no, they're serious. Oh.
You mean the shadow figure, or?
Yeah.
Well, we should end this on a good question. I've had a good one for y'all. Y'all ready?
Oh, boy.
What does a ghost look like in a photograph? I was inspired by the back and forth that went on during the weekend there when I said, I know it was matrixing in the picture I seen with Nicole, but what exactly are we looking for in a picture of a ghost? That's my question. I know we use matrixing as a generic term, but what should a ghost look like? Obviously not an orb or a mosquito's ass.
That's correct.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, you guys...
Yeah, I was the first one to speak up to debunk the photo that was up.
I didn't see anything in that picture.
I didn't either, don't worry.
And they're like, at the bottom, in front of the tree. And I'm like,
I'm going to go get the iPad and show all of them. And I'm going to make you see it.
Yeah. I showed him the picture.
No,
I would just like to, like, you have to look at it from the point of view of somebody who doesn't believe at all. A complete skeptic. You have to be able to show them a picture and have them say, holy crap, there is something there. And it looks like a person is standing there where they're not supposed to be. So when we have to throw like 3-4 filters on it, bring up the exposure, turn it to a negative, all that, it's too much work. And once you do that, then the skeptics are going to start to think, okay, so you can change the photo around doing that. Who's saying you're not adding stuff into it?
Or when somebody says, that can't be real, you Photoshopped that.
Yep.
That's a good one. Because
that's another thing we have to really fight, is anybody can Photoshop nowadays.
Yeah.
Cell phone picture, heavy humidity.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It was like 3 in the morning, I was on Facebook looking at Nicole's picture, and I'm like, oh my God, there's a face. It was like the most immediate thing that came out. I'm like, there's something in between the trees. Oh my God, there's a woman there. And then I'm like, no, I'm probably overtired. And
that's the problem with matrixing. Matrixing is not just a paranormal term.
But then I saw the guy with the floppy head, too. Yeah. I'll show you that one.
Okay, that I'd like to see.
I mean, basically, matrixing is what the human brain does, because we want to see something familiar, so we try and find a human face in anything we look at. If you take a look at the 9/11 pictures of the towers burning, everyone sees the devil's face in it.
Yeah.
And you want to find a face somewhere. If you stare at smoke long enough, or you stare at a tree long enough, you can find faces everywhere.
But what if your mind is actually seeing that picture, because that picture is actually there?
Well, then you have to give it to multiple... not that, but if there's something in the picture, you have to give it to multiple people, and all of those people have to corroborate it beyond a shadow of a doubt, saying, right there, that looks like a face. And then the next person says, I see it. That's a face right there. And in a blind manner, not everybody sitting next to each other, because then that's group influence. But, you know.
Like, I love when I put that on our website. Yeah. And it's like, is it the wolf that's in the sky? Okay, no. Just stop. Just stop. We're not even anywhere in the right picture.
The photo that we used this weekend as an example. It passed along to about 6 or 7 people, and everyone was like, I'm looking here, I'm kind of seeing something, this and that. All I did was make one comment saying, I don't see anything, it's too much, there's nothing there, and everyone kind of folded. I mean, that if everyone folds that easy on a piece of paranormal evidence,
it's rip.
Then it's not strong enough.
That's right. And unfortunately,
no, I'm not arguing with you guys. I'm just wondering, like, you know, what is it, if you've read or seen anything, what should we be, and people out there, what they should be looking for?
Basically, one of the first things I always do is if I look at a photo, it's a quick glimpse. If you see it as soon as you look at the photo, then it's worth a look. But if you have to sit there and stare at it, then it's...
So like the Amityville photo there with the child, that's a...
Yeah,
that you're looking for a real non-see-through kind of...
And you can see that in that picture. I mean, that's one of those classic things where people
said...
The lady on the staircase, the Amityville child.
The photo I have from A Risk in a Battlefield.
That one.
That's something that catches your eye and you have to look at it.
You know the ones I love? The ones where there are just random appearances of a smoky object in there. Like, nobody was smoking.
Did you see the one Alex had from the weekend?
Yes. And that was pretty cool.
Did Rich show you his pictures he took of
from the lumber baron?
Yeah.
No.
With the demon in there? That's quite impressive.
I wouldn't yell demon, but there's like a black shadow figure in it.
I would love to see that.
It's like a solid black mask, like right. The only thing that is, there is obviously somebody else there, like, there was somebody there and this mask kind of blocks it out. You can kind of just see the edge of them. So I don't know. You're way better at this than I am. I don't know if it might have been, you know what I mean? Movement,
yeah, like
or
shadow or...
But I mean, it is like a big, roughly human-shaped...
Are you talking the one with the two girls or the...
No, I'm talking about the one where it's like in like...
And there's like three crescents?
No, no. That
have
them
show you
that.
The crescent one, because that's the one with the green demon in it. That one, I call it demon, you know, throwing that word.
But it looks,
yeah,
like
there's
green,
just something
it
weird
looks like
in there.
Green fire. It's like a weird picture that.
That's pretty cool. Whenever you see something that clearly looks out of place, and you
and that's not blown up. That was the full shot. This thing takes up like the entire center of
really
the but picture.
It's a total dark room.
Yeah.
So all you see is like kind of some vague outlines of stuff, and then this like green ball of fire.
Huh.
So I mean, it could have been a reflection. Also, he says it's not.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. Who knows? Right. Exactly. And that's the problem we always run into. When we do our events, people will say, "Show me something that will make me believe beyond a shadow of a doubt." Well, you can't do that because number one, you weren't there, and you didn't experience it. So therefore, you naturally have skepticism about what we're showing you. Anytime I see something with streaks of light,
I knew he'd have my back.
in the darkness, cameras automatically go to a very slow shutter speed and you get streaks. So what that is, I mean, like if I were to blow that up, I could see eyes and a mouth there. I mean, it looks gremlinish. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, towards the top of it.
Yeah,
there.
Toward the top of it. You could see eyes and a mouth. But, again, is that a face that's there? More than likely not. It's something that looks weird.
Yeah, I've gotten more skeptical because of you, and I appreciate it.
Well, good. I'm glad.
We're coming down to our last 2 minutes here.
That's the other one.
That's the one I was talking about.
Okay, that's kind of weird.
That's the one that I...
But, again, if somebody's moving really fast...
It does kind of look like somebody's moving.
That's what I thought the first time I looked at it.
Like you said, quick glance, it looks like somebody's moving.
Yeah.
But that is really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Go ahead.
Right, so then I guess this is where we sing the Doors at the end. Right?
We'd like to thank BBS Radio for putting up with us, Doug and Don.
Thank you guys.
You treated us very well. To our loyal listener, we thank you. And we are available on iTunes and all the stores.
And please keep an eye on Paranormal Investigator Radio for our new format, new concept that will be starting in the fall, a couple weeks.
Keep an eye on the YouTube site. We're hopefully going to get a show out to everyone. Change the format on there.
I'm going to link it tonight. I'm going to link paranormalinvestigatorradio.com to our Facebook or to our YouTube site.
That way you can actually see some of the photos that we're talking about here.
And we got the shut up sign. So we're out temporarily.
We needed some music to play us off. Hello, my baby. Hello.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.